This is Danny and Dusty.
Meringue-tang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Hey, welcome back. Danny and Dusty with you on this Monday. A beautiful Monday. 73 degrees, I read somewhere. Over this fine city.
Quite lovely.
Oh, it's beautiful. It is beautiful. What a great weekend we had, too, except for if you have allergies. Not good. Not good for the allergy sufferers out there. Dude.
I was actually okay.
People are really struggling.
I didn't ride the struggle bus yet.
I got, I found this out. I don't have seasonal allergies. Yeah, I have, I forgot what they called it. Something about hyperactive receptors.
Oh, okay.
And so I give off every symptom of having allergies, but I'm not actually allergic to anything. I just go through it. And so, like, right now my voice is a little bit hoarse.
Gotcha, okay.
And I can't, I just can't shake it. When everything starts blossoming at once, I just go, uh-oh. My daughter's on the real struggle bus. She's got seasonal allergies.
You're like a puppy that just can't contain itself.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
That's right. That's one of those things.
Who's
that
good boy?
I am. I am. But I will suffer if it means having weather like
this. Oh, God, yes.
Which is going to end on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to crater into the side of the mountain. But that's okay. We'll take it when we can get it. I yard worked.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I got some trees planted.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're planting trees.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I've mentioned numerous times that we have zero trees on the property. I can now say that we have two.
Oh.
We have two trees on the property.
You went on that baseline of just getting trees. You did two.
Yeah. Dos.
Two trees. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
One's kind of a smaller tree, and the other one's like going to be like a 15 to 20 foot dogwood.
Oh, boy. Oh, dogwood?
Yeah, that's what the wife wanted.
Who wants dogwood?
I know.
Why did she want dogwood?
I don't know.
Does she know what it's going to look like in your yard?
Yeah.
And that was a choice.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. She likes the way the tree looks.
Obviously, neither one of you have allergies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but.
You do?
Yeah.
And it's going to, that's a monster move.
Yeah.
That is a, now, hey, now you guys are. It makes sense. She was like, it was always looking side eye like, how, you know, she seems too normal. But now that comes out and the truth is here.
Yeah, I got to take a look at what kind of dogwood it is. It's not the dogwood from hell with the white fluffies. It's another one that has like, I think it has like little berries on it, which is still irritating.
Yeah. I don't know. But having a bunch of different trees surrounding our house now, which we did find out, the leaves look far different than the pictures of gum. What is it? Gum?
Gum tree?
Yep. Sweet gum?
Sweet gum? Yeah.
Sweet gum. It is sweet gum that is dropping those little
spiky
balls of death in our backyard. And then we also have pine needles everywhere. And then we got oak trees out front. So we get
the big old leaves.
All trees do is just drop stuff.
Yeah.
Like they, sure, shade is great. Shade is great.
Indeed.
But my God,
mm-hmm.
It's just a never ending cycle of leaves and needles and spiky balls. And then apples will start falling everywhere in our yard.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Like
yeah.
And trees are great, but trees are also the devil.
Do you just like get out the blower to blow off the turf or
no,
what?
No. Cause here's the thing. Pine needles, sticky, those spiky
balls,
they stick in the turf. So you got to rake it all out. Rake it all out.
Mm.
You know, can't even have a mower. Can't even go with a mower on it. But I'm here for it. So yard work was in your weekend.
Indeed. A trip to Depot even.
Makes you feel good.
Wasn't that busy?
Makes you feel.
I was kind of.
Really?
I was kind of shocked.
Usually
Sunday,
first sun is
Sunday at Depot.
Oh,
with the sun.
That's St. Patrick's Day, though. Everywhere
oh,
was
yeah,
dead. It was St. Patrick's Day, and so that's
kind
that's
of a clutch move. Then I guess
pulled people back a little bit. But St. Patty's Day, falling on Selection Sunday, fantastic. What a great day yesterday was.
And the Bears fans got all drunk when Justin Fields got traded.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, they did for nothing. But yeah. It was quite a weekend we had.
Mm.
Jeff Rust here. Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
How's your weekend?
We had a little impromptu trip down to the coast.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. Much like, nice. I think half of the Portland metropolitan area, too.
I heard
how it goes.
That it was like swimsuit weather at the beach.
It was fantastic. Just like there was zero breeze and not a cloud in the sky.
And then you put your toe in the water and went, oh my God, what did I do?
Well, and the one thing I realized too on my way down there is I forgot my flip-flops. All I had was my sneakers that I was wearing. So the walk down the roughly paved gravelly street to the end of beach access was. My body's not cut out for that anymore.
First world problems.
Yeah, right?
Your dainty little feet couldn't handle it.
My dainty little feet couldn't handle the pebbles.
Yeah.
I saw a guy walking through my neighborhood barefoot the other day, and I was like, that's kind of a savage move.
Getting it summer ready.
Yeah, I was like, I guess you're just getting the calluses built up on the old barefoot.
I had that conversation with my son. Like, you got to start roughing those feet up for summer, bud, because you're out barefoot all the time. You can't have these soft feet in summer. Kids are crazy, though. Like, the spiky rock, it doesn't matter. They'll just power right through. But then you all of a sudden understand, no, that hurts.
Yeah.
On my foot.
And you get old and soft, and you get foot problems. And it's
you get heavier, if we're being quite honest. You know what I mean? You're not just floating on those rocks
anymore.
It's a whole deal. All right. We got a lot that we got to get to.
We have so many sports.
Boy. And non-sportsy, too. We got a little bit of both going on. We got a little bit of both. I am the proud owner of a Taylor Swift T-shirt.
Oh.
We had a Taylor Swift birthday party this past
weekend. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You got a double digiter in the house now.
Yeah. That is something I have officially reached the point where, like, she doesn't think I'm cool anymore. Like, we're there. Because she was, like, had her little Taylor Swift whole party. Do you know how long the Arrows movie is?
It's like 3 hours, isn't it?
Three and a half hours.
Like 3.5, yeah.
It's 3 hours and 31 minutes long.
We turned it on over the weekend, and I was like, holy crap balls. It's long.
Like, no wonder these people go crazy over Taylor Swift.
Right?
She puts on a 3.5 hour show. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, she played, like, everything.
She plays 45 songs, doesn't she?
It went through the entire, like, birthday party, like, start to finish. It was like, well, time to go. But, With that, like, all these, like, little preteen girls are sitting there singing their Taylor Swift songs on the TV. And then I gave the, all right, you're ready for me to sing? And my daughter whipped out a rule sheet. Rule number one, mom and dad, no singing.
Wow.
Rule number one.
Wow, she thought that far ahead, huh?
She had a plan. And I was just like, God. Well, you got that from your mother because it goes back to recall to Friday. The list is always in the head.
Yes.
She put pen to paper on this thing, was like, you're not singing. It's on the rules here. So I just went out and played basketball with the boys.
Nice.
That was it.
Nice.
That was my Saturday. But it was great weather. Can't complain. Had a lot of basketball to watch, too. I want everybody to know now, I think I've watched enough college basketball over the last 4 days.
Yes.
I think we're ready for the tournament now.
Yeah.
Like, everybody has now become the college basketball expert,
yes,
where we all think we know what's going on in college hoops. Here to tell you, it turns out selection committee doesn't even know what they're doing in college basketball.
No, not at all.
What a crazy week. Bid stealers, you had bracket busters.
Oh, yeah, conference upsets.
Conference tournaments.
Across the board.
This was exactly why conference tournament week is my second favorite week of college hoops. Obviously, number one, this week, where you can come out to Fan Madness at A&A.
Indeed.
We're all going to be there from noon until 3. And here, how about this? Oregon plays at 1 o'clock on Thursday.
Woohoo!
For those of you that are wondering,
that
means we are going to have a half-hour show out at A&A,
and then we'll be on the loose.
It's turning into a Ducks versus South Carolina watch party.
Yes.
It is. We're going to still be down there. It's going to be awesome. Now I don't have to worry about running back and forth, getting my bets in.
No, we can just put our bets in.
We got our bets in, but we are going to have Fan Madness party, Isaac and Suk are gonna pick up right when the Ducks in South Carolina end.
Probably like 3:30, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 3:30, 4 o'clock. And then we're going to be having all the games, all the action, all day Thursday. And then we get to come back on Friday, digest everything that happened on Thursday and the craziness that is happening on Friday, because Fan Madness, two-day event.
Indeed.
Up at the Stadium Sports Bar at LNA. So I'm pumped for it. This is going to be, like, I was already excited because just the energy, you missed last year.
I did.
Just the energy in the sports book and in the Stadium Sports Bar at LNA, like, it feels like March Madness, right? It feels, you get that Vegas feeling of everybody winning and dying by, who really cares if Murray State's not even in it.
McNeese State,
the Fighting Will Wades of, we'll pay that guy an F-ton. If McNeese State wins or loses, I don't really care. But you know what? I feed off of the guy who really is giving a you know what about that game.
And
I'm going to be just as happy for him as I would if I won my bets.
And these brackets are going to be all over the place.
Oh, let's
this,
go.
This is going to probably be the most upside-down tournament ever. Because there's no... People can say there's a clear-cut best team in the country. There's not.
I mean, everybody's defaulting to UConn because they're defending national champs. Yeah. They have been dynamite all season long.
And Castle and Klingon are good, but like
they're replacing three starters from last year's team, and in a tournament run, you never know.
Anything can happen.
Because, and this is the fun part for me, and we're going to talk a lot about this as the show goes on, but we have got, I mean, tournament-style teams where one and done fits them better.
Yes.
Than the course of, I mean, Oregon is a great example of this. Like, how many times do we have to see Dana Altman make a run in the Pac-12 tournament when nobody thinks they're going to win, and boom.
And the way seeding has been done, it's gonna get squirrely real quick.
I can't wait. I am ready for it. I am ready for all of it. Please join us up at Fan Madness Thursday and Friday. You'll just be able to sit and talk and chill with us for... really all of Thursday.
Yeah.
We got a half hour show.
We'll pop on, talk about what's coming up, and then we're going to pop off.
Ugh. Yeah, we are.
Also, you said the allergies, and now my eyes itch. Thank you.
Don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. You spoke this into existence. Don't you do that.
You monster.
All right, we are live on 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2 in your HD vehicles. We also are on YouTube.com/1080AMTheFan, Twitch.com/1080AMTheFan, and the beautiful Odyssey app on your handheld device. All right, we got to get to all these sporting and non-sporting because a lot happened this weekend. There's a lot that happened this weekend. I got questions. But the tournament is set, brackets are out, and of course, people very upset about being on the outside looking in of the NCAA tournament. Let's get to Bid Stealers, Bracket Busters galore. Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Dusty on The Fan.
All right, the brackets are out and for the NCAA men's and women's tournament. We'll get to the women's tournament because we have a regional final coming here to Portland.
Indeed.
There was a lot of hype about a lot of the schools that are coming to Portland for the women's side. It's not as star-studded as we had seen in the bracketology.
Yes.
But it's pretty damn
good. It's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good.
It looked like you might get Cam Brink, Juju Watkins, and Caitlin Clark all to Portland.
Yeah.
They got two of the three,
which is good.
Not bad.
It's good. And potential Paige. Of Gino Auriemma and UConn and Paige Beckers. Yeah. But we'll get into that a little bit later. The men's tournament, that bracket is set. And your top four seeds are as follows. You have UConn, the number one overall seed in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Houston out of the Big 12. Purdue out of the Big 10. And North Carolina out of the ACC as the one seed.
That one made me go, huh? One of these is not like the other.
What do you mean? You mean UConn being a conference tournament champion?
No, North Carolina.
No.
Looking at North Carolina, I was like...
Because the other three were not conference tournament champions.
Yes. And North Carolina, I just... they don't feel like a one seed. When you watch them play, I don't look at them and go, that's a one seed.
I can't, like, and here's the thing with this.
But that's also part of the
iteration of college basketball. Like, this year, I honestly, I don't know which teams are worthy of those, of being the number one overall seed. You know, like think of what we're looking at here. UConn, slam dunk, no doubt. They're the defending national champs. They're 31-3. They took care of business in their conference tournament. They were like the no-brainer for being a one seed. Houston, which the metrics, Houston is like the metrics will tell you. They are a one seed through and through. And, you know, whether no matter where you look, Houston, whether it's KenPom, net rating, with your eyes, you go, all right, that's a tournament style team.
That's a one seed.
Yet they stub their toe in the conference tournament, and you in the Big 12 tournament, you're like, uh-oh.
What happened here?
How do we make sense of all of this? What, they got beat by, Iowa State beat them by 28?
It was a thumping.
That is.
It happens.
69-41.
It happens.
Yet, one seed. North Carolina, to your point, is one of those teams that you sit there and you look at and you go,
You didn't win your tournament.
It is a topsy-turvy season for the North Carolina Tar Heels. But at the same time, who would you put up there as a number one?
Auburn or Iowa State.
I would have put Iowa State.
One of those two.
In there. But this is where the committee, and my pushback, a lot of people are upset at the committee because the seedings just don't make sense
bonkers.
in a lot of senses. You look up and down, you're like, okay, so we got 10 seeds in the play-in in Dayton. All right, I think that I heard somebody, Seth Davis said that's the second time that's happened, is we have 10 seeds because you'll usually have your 11s and your 12s. We got our 10 seeds in the Dayton play-ins. Mm-hmm. You have teams that have just been jumping around, jostling 11 and 12 seeds. Somehow Gonzaga works their way up to a 5 seed.
Which doesn't make any sense. The one that it throws me off, Kentucky, Auburn. How is Kentucky in the same conference?
Yeah.
With more losses, less top 25 wins, rated 19th in KenPom, are a 3 seed, while Auburn is a 4 seed while being 4th in KenPom.
Okay.
Like that to me is like, come again?
I don't know.
Please explain.
But the way that I will go about it is by saying, I think they look at, with a lot of these, they looked at how you're playing lately, right? Like how you're playing lately. I don't, that is head scratching. I don't know. They tried to justify. The most head scratching one for me is Michigan State, right? Michigan State at 19-14 is a 9 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Because of all the bid stealing, and I understand like the way they tried to explain it is that they had to place them some. They're 19-14, and they have losses to several teams head to head that are below them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
But also at the same time, on KenPom, they're 18th because they have one of the most difficult schedules in the country.
Sure. Go ahead.
But that again plays into the whole idea of like this season.
It was wild.
It was just a pile
of
mush.
And I think that is why the tournament committee, they could have, because they don't want to have multiple teams from the same conference as one seeds, right?
Yeah.
That would have made sense in this year with all of the chaos to sit there and go, you know what? Iowa State should be a one seed then. Or going Auburn.
Like,
which is efficiency. They're one of the top. I think they're the only team in college basketball that in offensive and defensive efficiency ratings, they are in the top 10 of both.
I mean, you look at almost every single thing as far as the rankings go across the board, and Auburn is right there. And I just don't understand how you can be rated as a top 4 team in the country and be ranked essentially 16th through 20th by the committee. I understand a 2 seed. And hell, 3, fine, if you want to say that they're not playing their best or whatever stupid justification you want to make. But to take them and go from, well, the guy that has made a living doing this and projecting this and being wildly accurate for 20 years is saying this is the fourth best team in the country, and you're saying they're the 16th?
Yeah.
That is such a massive switch.
You have that in Iowa State, which... you know, beat a one seed by 28 points in
Houston. And they're the fifth ranked team.
No, they were the eighth seeded team.
What I'm saying, but in Ken Pom, they're fifth.
They were the eighth seed, so they were the Iowa State Cyclones. They were the last two seed. So you sit there and you look at what is our region of death here?
Oh God!
Look at the East region where you have defending national champ UConn. They are the one seed. The eight seed is Florida Atlantic, which was in the Final Four last year. Mm-hmm. For those that forget, you have San Diego State, which is the national runner up. That's the five seed. The four seed is Auburn, which you just mentioned is a top five team nationally. And then you have Illinois, which is they can run and gun and nip you. That's a fun team to watch.
Mm-hmm.
They are the.
Did you mention San Diego State?
Yep.
Okay.
And then Iowa State is the two seed, and that's the region where you also have Washington State, which is going to be a pesky little out, and another confusing seeding though, Duquesne.
Yeah.
The Dukes, they had to have a magical run in their conference tournament even to be considered in this.
And they slide into an 11.
They slide into 11, man. Look, everybody's bashing the committee. This year, I just throw my hands up and I go, what were you supposed to do?
I mean,
Duquesne as an 11 seed, by the way, in the Atlantic 10, they were the sixth seed in their conference tournament.
Yeah.
And they beat the fifth-seeded VCU Rams in the conference championship game yesterday.
And the thing about this is, you take a look at seeding, like a team like New Mexico, according to Ken Pom, is 22nd, 11 seed, because they looked at the Mountain West and went, we don't trust you, not after last year, because they all got absolutely bombed out immediately last year.
See, and if you're
which doesn't make any sense.
Those teams, each team is different, each year is different, you know, because you get bombed out of the tournament or whatever. Purdue is still a one seed. Arizona's still a two seed. And those are the confusing ones, because why wouldn't you put Auburn as a two seed instead of Arizona, which got bounced early? You know, Auburn is sitting there 27-7, and Arizona is 25-8.
Mm-hmm.
Make it make sense. I don't know. I don't care. I think it's actually, they set up for a ton of drama and a ton of really good matchups in the opening two rounds of the tournament.
I mean, you could have a New Mexico Baylor second round matchup. It features the 22nd and 15th ranked teams in the country.
Okay, here's my question about all this. Why is this year so much more difficult than in years past? What is leading to the NCAA tournament, college basketball being the absolute toss up? Like, if you feel confident in your bracket, you're going to finish last in your in your pool this year. that is the way that I'm looking at this, just going, like, we have a text on Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. It says it won't be as crazy as last year's tourney. Watch out.
I'd be willing to bet against that.
If this tournament goes chalk, then
it'll be shocking.
The tournament committee deserves all the flowers, and everybody that's bashing them right now needs to just take a seat, because there's a lot of complaining of teams. We got Seton Hall Joe here.
Mm-hmm.
Not Joe Fisher. We got Seton Hall Joe, who's very upset. He's very upset at Seton Hall not being.
And I think rightfully so.
See, I don't think
St. John's. No, St. John's is the one, not Seton Hall.
Seton Hall does not have a win over a tournament team since January 6th of this year, and they've gotten the doors blown off them by the teams that are tournament teams. You've got a 21-point loss to Creighton, a 30-point loss to UConn. Their wins in the Big East tournament were over Villanova and DePaul, and then they lost to St. John's. St. John's, sure, you could make an argument for them, but the funniest part about that is Rick Pitino's kid is the one that kept him out. New Mexico bid stealing is what kept them out of the tournament. So,
which New Mexico shouldn't have been bid stealing, because they are a better team. Like, it should have never been up for a debate whether or not they were going to be in.
Mountain West folks are very upset.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, they're like, well, our seeding is very low. You got six teams in.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, maybe you shouldn't have gotten six in, and maybe the top end should have been more involved.
Yeah.
Like, Boise State getting in was like, wait, what?
They were really good in conference play.
Again, but like a lot of the folks I talked to were surprised that Boise State was a last four.
Man. Well, let's answer this question,
yes,
though. Why is this year so much more difficult for the tournament committee and for college basketball as a whole? Right now is Russ with SportsCenter.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
All right, why is it so tough for the committee in college basketball this year when you look at seeding the tournament, who's in, who's out? This year was wild. We talked about this several times. I'd been tracking throughout the course of the year how many top 10 teams were losing road games to unranked opponents. And I honestly stopped counting at 39. 39! Is where I was like, all right, this is too wild, and I left town. So stopped counting over what last weekend, but it was, we were at like 39 top 10 teams losing to unranked opponents. That inherently makes it tougher because one thing that we've always had is in college hoops, the product has been dwindling since, you know, the one and done rule was implemented, and you didn't have that continuity, and it just kind of seemed that the product was kind of going down.
It was diluted a bit, but it also, the haves were still the haves.
And those dominant teams never showed their face.
Yep.
Like it was really hard to see those teams kind of prop them up. And when you can't prop the top up, everything else just kind of trickles down behind it.
I think the biggest reason why is this is the first year of what you're going to see. And it has everything to do with NIL and transfer portal.
100%. And I think it's been great for I think it has been great for college basketball.
Yes. Because the playing field is level to an extent. The lessers are becoming lesser. The haves are becoming more plentiful, and that's so you're, the very top is no longer the top 0.1%.
Yeah,
you're not getting the, on the women's side, the Geno Auriemma UConn teams where they're winning 78 games straight.
Yeah,
on the men's side, it's the same situation. North Carolina, good team. Houston, good team. But you get a guy like Dalton Connect who transfers from Northern Colorado, and he's the baddest mother bleeper on the planet at Tennessee, and all of a sudden Tennessee's they're a tough team. You look at the, once the tournament's selections were announced, 100 players hit the transfer portal. 100.
Boy, that comes at you fast.
And again, remember, this is not college football where rosters are 88 players. This is a roster of 14. So if you're talking about 100 players, that is a massive flux, and that's just going to be the norm going forward, and it's going to have a stabilizing force of a baseline of success, of good basketball. You're not going to be able to beat up on everybody anymore.
No, it has benefited the coaches also that they formulate and they have a plan. Kyle Smith at Washington State has done a great job of this, right? He's not pulling off, you know, peeling off the transfers from other power programs. Mm-hmm. His transfers are from St. Mary's, Sonoma State, with St. Mary's, very good program, Bellevue Community College, Drake, Idaho.
Not a typical basketball powerhouse.
No. Well, NBA Academy Africa. That's
a pretty good one. That one's shaping up to be real good.
And then some community college in Arizona. You have guys who are building like that. You have UAB, which UAB is, they are, by the way, that is a team that could be shooter's delight. You got San Diego State, UAB, plucking off a bunch of junior college kids that can fill it up, and then kickbacks from, again, smaller schools, right? And they're getting the trick, like they were saying on the SEC championship game yesterday, one thing that Bruce Pearl enjoys is getting those guys that have that edge to them that are coming from D3, D2, the lower level Division I programs, and you kind of see the start of their development happen, and then you get these really good coaches get their hooks into them, and you see them blossom and bloom. You have a team like Oregon, which Dana Altman, and we'll dive into Oregon's run in the Pac-12 tournament, because that was a Dana Altman special if I've ever seen one. But you get Dana Altman, who's got a guy like Jermaine Cousinard, who is a transfer from South Carolina. Right. And it was weird watching his reaction to the Ducks playing South Carolina, because he was like,
oh,
these are the guys that I rode with, for 4 years.
And I left them.
And here I am now. But you have guys like Cousinard, who he's a Power Five program. You have the transfer portal really has for a lot of these teams, but it took a while for Oregon to get the chemistry between, you know, guys like Jackson Shellstead, the West Lynn kid, who's a true freshman playing in first team all Pac-12 tournament. By the end of it, he wasn't playing like that at the beginning of the year. Well, he was injured too. And you have like all of these factors at play, but good coaching is really what is rising to the top. And you're seeing that time and time again. And now we don't have Roy Williams. We don't have Coach K. We don't have Jay Wright anymore.
No.
A lot of the dominant coaches have been gone. And I think that what we are kind of highlighting with the way that the seeding happened this year was name recognition meant a lot in those seeds. Tom Izzo being a 9 seed with Michigan State.
Certainly.
Arizona and Tommy Lloyd being the name recognition of Arizona got them a 2 seed.
I mean, Samson at Houston is a great... stylistically, it's kind of weird. We're getting back, I think, more towards the identity of programs being based around coaches and not around players. Where the one-and-done era became, you know, Cal's Kentucky, but it was about the star players they got through there. You're going to see more styles make fights. Shaka Smart at Marquette, I think that's going to be a school you're going to go, that school, as long as Shaka Smart is there, is going to be a complete pain.
And like this is the big thing with these coaches moving around, though, is that you have got to be very picky on where you go now. Because when Shaka Smart went to Texas, everybody's like, yeah, that's going to work. It didn't work because they wanted to recruit a different kind of player than Shaka Smart had at VCU, than Shaka Smart has at Marquette right now. It takes fit with where your coach is. Like, this is going to, college football is the same way. And we saw the exact same thing happen in college football. We had more teams this year that had a gripe with getting into the 4-team playoff than ever before because the transfer portal, NIL, you're starting to peel some of these guys back. Guys aren't just waiting to wait in line at Alabama anymore.
Nope. I want to play.
You know, they want to play and they have the opportunity to go and do it. But coach fit is going to be really important. Like Kalen DeBoer going to Bama is a great one. Like, does his style work for with what the fan base wants, what the program has been recruiting in the past?
Tradition of the administration and how they want to see things done. Everything has to line up.
And your fit, if you're going to jump to another program, has got to be nails. Like, it's got to be. And like Kyle Smith at Washington State, this is going to be a big one. Because you look at him, the way he built that team, it won't work everywhere. He went from San Francisco, built a really good program at San Francisco, goes up to the Palouse, does a fantastic job there, you know, just kind of peeling guys off from, we just read where some of these guys are coming from schools. That doesn't work if you go to a major program. If he goes to Michigan, that doesn't work there. But you know where it does work? Stanford.
Sure.
If he goes to Stanford because he's coached in San Francisco before, he doesn't have to go and
understands the region.
He doesn't have to get 5-star recruits left and right. It fits him a little bit better than a Michigan. But which is a better job? Michigan's a better job.
You get one Casey Jacobson and you call it good. let me, real quick, shout out to Kyle Smith's agent, because every high-profile job, I'm hearing a candidate for this job is Kyle Smith. I'm hearing a candidate for this job is Kyle Smith. I'm hearing a candidate for this job is Kyle Smith. So just real quick, shout out to his agent, because he has got into every newsbreaker's ear and been like, well, my guy, he's a candidate for that job.
He's interested.
I mean, I'm sorry, Coug fans, you're losing him.
I think they know.
It sucks, but, you know, that's how it goes.
Well, that's what happened with Tony Bennett, too. I mean, and he went to Virginia, and people are like, Virginia? Well, won national title later, after losing to a 16 seed, by the way, which that's why I think people are going to be going, Purdue is going to win it all this year.
Pretty good singer, too, that Tony Bennett.
Not bad.
He is.
Yeah.
He's longevity.
Yeah.
And multi-talented.
The flip side of all this NIL stuff and the transfer pool and collection of talents, you can botch it.
Yeah.
You can be USC and bring in and have a roster built of 8 guards and you become dysfunctional and it doesn't make any sense because you're trying to be flashy by, you know, getting brawny, but you can't play him, not only because of the heart issue he has, but because of the way your roster is broken out. And this stuff just doesn't work. And I think again, the biggest part of this is the alignment. Coach, school, administration, everybody's got to be on the same page on this. And probably now more so than ever. Because in the past, you can maybe cover up from stupidity by having a solid bag man. Like, meh, well, you know.
Coach K.
Yeah, which, again, Coach K, Patino, Cal, those guys, they were great at it.
Yeah. But you know what Duke also has coming in? Number one recruiting class, like, ever?
Yes.
Next year?
Yeah, the addition of Mollick and Cooper Flagg. Which is kind of funny because Rutgers was going to have the top class in the country. And not anymore.
Which is also a weird thing.
Yeah. Well, you get Ron Harper's kid and who's the other one? There's one other guy. Number two and number four recruits at the time were both going to Rutgers. Speaking of bags. But now the number one and likely number two recruits.
It's NIL.
Yes.
It's NIL.
With Cooper Flagg and Mollick both being Duke commits is flip things. And I think when it's all said and done, they'll be scored as the top recruiting class of all time.
That's impressive.
It's bonkers.
Well, we've got a bunch of fun with audio that we got to get to today, because we have got Dana Altman let his feelings known and what a turnaround it's been for Dana Altman. We have got how about Long Beach State and just the wild story that is.
Wow.
Okay, let's dive into Long Beach State. If you don't know, they're not even the 49ers anymore. What are they? They're not the Dirtbags.
No,
they're not the 49ers. They're like the Sharks.
It's something dumb.
Yeah, it is. They've changed their tune. But one thing has remained the same. A curmudgeon-y coach.
Mm.
And now he's gone, but they're still in the tournament. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, Long Beach State is dancing. They are a 15 seed, and they are taking on Arizona.
Forever the Dirtbags.
That's just their baseball team. That's just the baseball team's always been the Dirtbags. They're the 49ers.
I know, but...
Well, Sharks now, right?
Yeah, it's all very dumb because Sharks. You remember the old white hats that we all had in high school?
Oh, yeah, that said Dirtbags on
them. Dirtbags on them? Yeah, the LBSU Dirtbags.
Yep.
So they are forever immortalized as the Dirtbags, just like South Carolina is always going to be the Cox.
That's right. And Oregon is playing.
Huh.
Oregon is playing South Carolina. The first time they've ever played in football or basketball.
Super weird. I honestly would have thought that they would have played in football. Weirdly enough. Like, if you would be like, hey, have they played in their history? Like, yeah, sure, they probably stumbled across each other.
They might have. No. It's never happened
before.
But Long Beach State is in the dance, and they are there because they won their conference tournament. They are conference champions of the Big West? Is that what they're playing?
Yes.
Well, their coach, Dan Monson, formerly a math teacher at Oregon City High School.
No kidding.
For 1 year. Yeah. Before he started his coaching career. But I think what most people know him for is being the head coach of Gonzaga when they made their first tournament run, and then he went and bolted to take over the Minnesota job. After that was like the first Cinderella run
Gonzaga.
For Gonzaga.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the whole slipper still fits comes from with Gonzaga, is Dan Monson in those teams. Well, they were going to can Dan Monson at Long Beach State, and what they came to on Monday was a mutual parting of ways. We're not going to fire a guy who's led us to the tournament a few times, who's won a couple of Big West conference championships.
Yeah,
he's been 2007.
Yeah.
It's a long run
anywhere.
And they're like, we're not going to can you. We're going to mutually part ways. Mm-hmm. They announced that on Monday, and then all of a sudden, here comes Long Beach State making a run through the Big West tournament. Boom. Take that, Zots. UC Irvine, which was a team that people were like, watch out for sneaky UC Irvine, Anteaters.
They got snuck up on.
No, they got snuck up on.
We need more mascots like Anteaters.
Yeah.
That's the one nice thing about the NCAA tournament is with so many schools, you do get a nice little collection of mascots.
I think I know most of the mascots going through here.
Oh, God. What is it? Is it Vermont?
Catamounts?
Yeah.
I do not know Longwood, the College of Jerome Kersey.
Jerome Kersey.
Yeah. Indeed. They are a 16 seed. I don't know their mascot, but I'm looking down. I think I got a lot of them. Nobody's sneaking up on me this year right now.
They're the Longwood Lancers. The mascot is Elwood.
Nah, you just need to name him Jerome. Like, in honor of Jerome Kersey.
I'm not going to...
You got to have...
He's kind of cool.
He looks like a big old horse.
Like a big old horse with dreadlocks.
But Long Beach State, they were going to fire Dan Monson, and here they are, sitting atop the Big West and in the tournament again. What a cool moment.
It was great. It was a great... I mean, I've had a blessed... God has blessed me with a great career, and these kids have been awesome to coach. And when Jim Harbaugh says, who's got it better than him, somebody needs to tell him Dan Monson.
Now, your guys showed up big this tournament, made some big wins. What's special about this group of young men?
You know, they're good people, you know, and that's what you got to start with. They have character. You know, we had a up and down year, but they came in here and they played for each other. We quit playing together and started playing for each other.
Now, Coach, you have an amazing resume, a great career. Where does this moment rank for you as a coach?
Well, I got the 99 run at Gonzaga, but as Mark Fuchs said in a text, why don't we have a run at the first year and one in the last? But I don't think this is my last. I love coaching. I love teams. I need a new challenge. It's life. It's on to the next chapter.
Hell yeah. How great is that calling out Harbaugh, too?
It is. It's also just great because he's not fighting against it. He's not bitter about it. No. He's just like, hey, man, it is what it is. But this is a great way to go out.
He gets it. And since taking over the Long Beach State job in 2007, this is their second NCAA tournament bid. The last time they made the tournament, they actually came here and were in Portland. I remember when they came to Portland, that 2011-12 season, you know, they were in Portland for that. And he's gonna bookend it with a run in the NCAA tournament. And look, you get Arizona. There's worse things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking on another former Gonzaga assistant, Tommy Lloyd, with the Arizona Wildcats. I would love those are the stories that I love. Like there's a ton of them in this tournament too.
There's one with NC State as well.
Long Beach State is one of them. NC State is a great story, but like Samford, UAB, mm-hmm. James Madison. The James Madison story is crazy. They were a Division III school like 20 years ago.
And now here they are.
In football, top 25 program, mm-hmm. basketball, top 25 program. And this is like
Are they a powerhouse?
I have no idea where they came from, like, or where they're getting their money from, but it's working whatever they're doing.
Legitimately, top 25, and how many schools can say that in the last 5 years they've been top 25 in football and basketball? I bet you it's a short list.
Not from a Power 5 program.
Even from the Power 5 programs, it's not going to be a ton.
Yeah, you'll have, you know, Texas will be in there.
Michigan.
Ohio State. Michigan a couple of years ago.
Ohio State hasn't been a top 25 basketball team.
Last year, weren't they?
Were they?
I think last year they were really good last year.
Mm.
Weren't they? I thought they were good last year. But no, that list is short, and it's even shorter from non-Blue Bloods. When you take non-Blue Bloods into consideration, it's an even shorter list. I mean, Oregon was there, you know, a couple of years ago. They haven't cracked the top 25 this year. But a couple of years ago, their football and basketball programs were, and that's the health of that shows the health of your athletic department as a whole. I mean, really dang good.
They did top to bottom. They did make 25th in 2022.
Okay,
but before that, they danced back and forth. Oh, I'm sorry,
Ohio
State. They did move up at the end of 2021, 2022. They were ranked as high as 13th.
Yeah, yeah,
but
so yeah. They've been pretty good. But obviously, firing their coach.
good, Bob. Not great, Bob.
But James Madison, low key, power program. They are.
Like, legitimately, you're kind of looking at them like, what? This feels like what Louisville did 10 years ago. Not to the, obviously the same extent coming from Division III, but like all of a sudden being a football and basketball powerhouse.
It's easier said than done. You either got to, most times you have to pick a path.
Yeah, you don't usually get both.
Yeah, and it was Louisville getting that Papa John's and KFC money coming in.
And all of a sudden, it's weird that the players followed along.
All right. Dan Monson, let's go. Former Oregon City math teacher. Long run.
There you go.
Long run. All right, let's get to the NFL because Peanuts, that's what he was traded for. Next on The Fan.